Welcome to story time.
David and Mommy!
Hooray! So let's keep reading.
David is actually here because who was talking is David.
Yay! We love it when David's here. We're going to keep reading Kidnapped, Chapter 8. Kidnapped by Robert Louis Stevenson. Chapter 8, The Roundhouse. You're right. Yeah. I'm being a little redundant, which means that you say the same thing over and over. I will work on that. All right. Chapter 8, The Roundhouse. One night, about 12 o'clock, a man of Mr. Ryach's watch, which was on deck, came below for his jacket. And instantly there began to go a whisper about the forecastle that Sean had done for him at last. There was no need of a name. We all knew who was meant. But we had scarce time to get the idea rightly in our heads, far less to speak of it, when the scuttle was again flung open and Captain Hosian came down the ladder. He looked sharply round the bunks in the tossing light of the lantern, and then, walking straight up to me, he addressed me, to my surprise, in tones of kindness.
"My man," said he, "we want you to serve in the roundhouse. You and Ransom are to change berths. Run away aft with you."
Even as he spoke, the two seamen appeared in the scuttle, carrying Ransom in their arms, and the ship at that moment giving a great sheer into the sea, and the lantern swinging, the light fell directly on the boy's face. It was white as wax, and had the look upon it like a dreadful smile. I think that Ransom... There's Captain Hosian, and there's Mr. Ryach, who is one of the captain's, like, main guys, first mate type of guy. And then there's also Sean, who's the one who had, like, beaten Ransom in the past. And Ransom is the little boy, and it looks like he's hurt him really badly. He might have killed him this time. Ransom, the little boy, he might be dead or near dead. It sounds like it sounds like he's near dead, probably because Sean, who's this guy on the boat, who's one of the leaders, I think, on the boat, he like beat Ransom. So yeah, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to Ransom yet, but I guess we'll find out. Yeah, I hope he's going to be okay. The blood in me ran cold, and I drew in my breath as if I had been struck.
"Run away aft! Run away aft with you!" cried Hosian.
Let me turn off the sound. Okay. And at that, I brushed by the soldier, the sailors, and the boy, who neither spoke nor moved, and ran up the ladder on deck. Yep, the boy, Ransom, the boy. The brig was sheering swiftly and giddily through a long, cresting swell. She was on the starboard tack, and on the left hand, under the arched foot of the foresail, I could see the sunset still quite bright. This, at such an hour of the night, surprised me greatly, but I was too ignorant to draw the true conclusion that we were going north about round Scotland, and we were now on the high sea between Orkney and the Shetland Islands, having avoided the dangerous currents of the Pentland Firth. For my part, who had been so long shut in the dark and knew nothing of headwinds, I thought we might be halfway or more across the Atlantic. And indeed, beyond that, I wondered a little at the lateness of the sunset light. I gave no heed to it and pushed on across the decks, running between the seas, catching at ropes, and only saved from going overboard by one of the hands on deck who had always been kind to me. The roundhouse, for which I was bound, and where I was now to sleep and serve, stood some 6 feet above the decks, and considering the size of the brig, was of good dimensions. Inside were a fixed table and bench, and two berths, one for the captain and the other for the two mates, turn and turn about. It was all fitted with lockers from top to bottom, so as to stow away the officers' belongings and a part of the ship's stores. There was a second storeroom underneath, which you entered by a hatchway in the middle of the deck. Indeed, all the best of the meat and drink and the whole of the powder were collected in this place, and all the firearms, except for the two pieces of brass ordnance, were set in a rack in the aftermost wall of the roundhouse. The most of the cutlasses were in another place. A small window with a shutter on. Yep. They had cutlasses on there too, in there too. A small window with a shutter on each side and a skylight in the roof gave it light by day, and after dark there was a lamp always burning. It was burning when I entered, not brightly, but enough to show Mr. Shawn sitting at the table with the brandy bottle and a tin pannikin in front of him. He was a tall man, strongly made and very black, and he stared before him on the table like one stupid. He took no notice of my coming in, nor did he move when the captain followed me and leant on the berth beside me, looking darkly at the mate. I stood in great fear of Hosian, and had my reasons for it, but something told me I need not be afraid of him just then, and I whispered in his ear, "How is he?" He shook his head like one that does not know and does not wish to think, and his face was very stern. Presently, Mr. Ryach came in. He gave the captain a glance that meant the boy was dead, as plain as speaking, and took his place. Yeah, it sounds like Ransom died. Yeah, that is sad.
He was a good boy.
Yeah, he didn't really have a chance in life, you know? He probably didn't ever have any parents who were, you know, who raised him. I mean, maybe he did at some point, but he was pretty young to be on his own and on a ship like this. Yeah. So that we all three stood without a word, staring down at Mr. Shawn, and Mr. Shawn on his side sat without a word, looking hard upon the table. All of a sudden he put his hand to take the bottle, and at that Mr. Ryach started forward and caught it away from him, rather by surprise than violence, and crying out with an oath that there had been too much of this work altogether, and that a judgment would fall upon the ship. And as he spoke, the weather sliding doors standing open, he tossed the bottle into the sea. Mr. Shawn was on his feet in a trice. He still looked dazed, but he meant murder, aye, and would have done it, for the second time that night, had not the captain stepped in between him and his victim.
"Sit down!" roars the captain. "You sodden swine, do you know what you've done? You've murdered the boy!"
Mr. Shawn seemed to understand, for he sat down again, and he put up his hand to his brow.
"Well," he said, "he brought me a dirty pannikin."
At that word, the captain and I and Mr. Ryach all looked at each other for a second with a kind of frightened look, and then Hosian walked up to his chief officer, took him by the shoulder, led him across to his bunk, and bade him lie down and go to sleep, as you might speak to a bad child. The murderer cried a little, but he took off his sea boots and obeyed.
"Ah," cried Mr. Ryach with a dreadful voice, "you should have interfered long since. It's too late now." "Mr. Ryach," said the captain, "this night's work must never be known in desert."
I don't know if they're good guys, honey. I don't think they are.
So a bad guy killed a bad guy?
Well, I don't know if we could call Ransom a bad guy, as he's so young. But he said that he had killed somebody before, which is pretty bad.
Ransom?
It was very bad. Yeah, Ransom, he was bragging to Davy that he had killed somebody before. But now Shaw has killed Ransom. And that's really bad, because Ransom was only a boy, and Shaw is a grown man.
"Mr. Ryach," said the captain, "this night's work must never be kent in Disset. The boy went overboard, sir, that's what the story is, and I would give £5 out of my pocket if it were true."
He turned to the table. "What made you throw the good bottle away?" he added. "That was nae sense in that, sir. Here, David, draw me another. They're in the bottom locker." And he tossed me a key.
"You'll need a glass yourself, sir," he added to Ryach. "Yon was an ugly thing to see."
So the pair sat down and hobnobbed while they did so. And while they did so, the murderer, who had been lying and whimpering in his berth, raised himself upon his elbow. It's Shaw. Raised himself upon his elbow and looked at them and me. That was the first night of my new duties, and in the course of the next day I had got well into the run of them. I had to serve at the meals, which the captains took at regular hours, sitting down with the officer who was off duty, All the day through I would be running with the dram to one or the other of my three masters, and at night I slept on a blanket thrown on the deck boards at the aftermost end of the roundhouse, and the right in the draught of the two doors. It was a hard and cold bed, nor was I suffered to sleep without interruption, for someone was always coming in from deck to get a dram, and when a fresh watch was to be set, two and sometimes all three would sit down and brew a bowl together. How they kept their health, I know not, any more than how I kept my own. And yet in other ways it was an easy service. There was no cloth delay. The meals were either of oatmeal porridge or salt junk, except twice a week when there was duff, which is flour pudding. And though I was clumsy enough, and not being firm on my sea legs, sometimes fell with what I was bringing them, both Mr. Ryach and the captain were singularly patient. I could not but fancy they were making up leeway with their consciences, that they would scarce have been so good to me if it had not been worse with ransom. As for Mr. Shawn, the drink or his crime or the two together had certainly troubled his mind. I cannot say I ever saw him in his proper wits. He never grew used to my being there, stared at me continually. Sometimes I could have thought with terror, and more than once drew back from my hand when I was serving him. I was pretty sure from the first that he had no clear mind of what he had done, and on my second day in the roundhouse I had proof of it. We were all alone, and he had been staring at me a long time, when all at once he got as pale as death, and came close to me, to my great terror, but I had no cause to be afraid of him.
"You were not here before?"
he asked. "No, sir," said I.
"There was another boy?"
he asked again, and when I had answered him,
"Ha,"
he says,
"I thought that,"
and went and sat down without another word except to call for brandy. You may think it strange, but for all the horror I had, I was still sorry for him. He was a married man with a wife in Leith, but whether or no he had a family, I have now forgotten. I hope not. Altogether, it was no very hard life for the time it lasted, which, as you are to hear, was not long. I was as well fed as the best of them. Even their pickles, which were the great dainty, I was allowed my share of. And I had liked I might have been drunk from morning to night like Mr. Shawn. I had company, too, and good company of its sort. Mr. Ryach, who had been to college, spoke to me like a friend when he was not sulking, and told me many curious things, and some that were informing. And even the captain, though he kept me at the stick's end most part of the time, would sometimes unbuckle a bit and tell me of the fine countries he had visited. In the shadow of poor ransom, to be sure, lay on all four of us.
Why didn't he tell the captain that the Eldar was the murderer?
Well, they all know that Shaw is the murderer.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What are they doing about it?
They're not doing anything about it.
What?
I don't think they're good guys, honey. They said, you know, Shaw killed Ransom, and we're just going to say that Ransom fell overboard. And they're not doing anything to Shaw. They're just going on. They're carrying on as normal. Yeah, I don't know. I guess maybe they would still carry on as normal. I don't think they're good guys. We learned before Davy got trapped on the ship that this was a ship that had carried slaves and was still carrying slaves. And the intention is for them to take Davy to the Carolinas, which in the time that this is set, there was still slavery in America. So they're going to take him to America and sell him, like, as a slave. So they're not good people.
What do they give them for food?
What do they give him for food? Well, he's saying he gets, like, some porridge, some pieces of bread, you know, water, things like that. And he's saying that, you know, he could have had rum if he wanted it. He could have been drunk all day if he wanted to.
He could be drunk again.
Yeah, that's what he's saying. Yeah, that would be terrible. Although, if he had been, then he probably would have gotten beaten up, just like Ransom. Because he would have been making mistakes. And Mr. Shaw would have, you know, or the other guys would have not, like, given him a break or treated him with kindness.
Like the guys that are not
drunk.
Mm-hmm. They treat them like kindness.
The shadow of poor Ransom, to be sure, lay on all four of us, and on me and Mr. Sean in particularly, most heavily. And then I had another trouble of my own. Here I was, doing dirty work for three men that I looked down upon, and one of whom at least should have hung upon the gallows, for that was the present. And as for the future, I could only see myself slaving alongside others in the tobacco fields. Mr. Ryach, perhaps from caution, would never suffer me to say another word about my story. The captain, whom I tried to approach, rebuffed me like a dog, and would not hear a word, and the days came and went, and my heart sank lower and lower, till I was even glad of the work which kept me from thinking. That is the end of chapter 8, and the next one is chapter 9, The Man with the Belt of Gold. Well, honey, we still have to do the rest of our work today, so I do think we should stop there.
Chapter.
I know, but these are kind of dense chapters. No, they're not super long, but there's a lot of stuff in them. And plus, we still have to look up the word carbonadated. We figured out what the other word we have to look up is. It's carbonadated, and I don't know what it means. Yeah, so we're going to figure it out and report back.
Carbonadated.
You say bye, podcast listeners.
Bye, podcast listeners.
I think that was carbonated. Bye, carbonated podcast listeners. Hopefully that's not something bad.
I hope Peppa's
coronated? Yeah. Oh, that means crowned. That'd be pretty good.
Peppa's crowned.
Queen Peppa.
I don't... I think I should be King
David. Sounds pretty fancy. All right, bye.
How can Peppa be married?
Are you going to marry Peppa?
Yes.
I think you should marry a human, honey.
No, I'm going to marry
not a puppy.
I'm going to marry Peppa.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye. I'm going to marry Peppa.
Oh, my goodness.